The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy Independence Day. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you proudly, I should add, by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay's here today. How you doing, Jeffrey?
Good morning, Gil.
Jeffrey, you have done some actual producing on this show today, have you not?
Oh, I mean, I usually do, but yes.
you are like, I am all in on the producing today. So Jeff's got some football props for us today. Wes Reynolds joins us to talk golf. That man needs to take a bow after hitting another outright. And we might be shortchanging him. Did he hit one or two outrights this weekend? We don't know.
We have to confirm, but definitely hit the postman in the John Deere.
JT posted at the John Deere, so Wes will take a bow here on the show. We'll talk to him about UFC, his takeaways this weekend as well. Anything added to the Open Championship coming up next week, is that? Man, next week. Las Vegas Chris joins us in studio as well. We did this last week. He hung out for a couple segments. He hangs out for a couple more today on this Independence Day. Just going to shoot the breeze with Las Vegas Chris with some of his betting philosophies. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Because it's July 4th and the bunting will be out. Do you like bunting, Jeff? You like bunting? I'm not talking about putting your bat in front of you and bunting. I'm talking about that which is draped in baseball stadiums.
What's that called?
Bunting, yes.
I did not realize that's
Stars
what
and
that's
stripes,
called.
Yes, bunting.
Oh, okay.
So on a day like this where there's full-day baseball, Jason Weingarten will jump in. Pamela Maldonado also on Wimbledon a little later. Speaking of which, let's start there if we would, because I do have two picks, and the first of which may have started or is about to. Alizé Cornet is the play coming up here on the ladies' side, the round of 16. I got her at minus 123. This morning, it was all the way up to like minus 145 in some spots and then dropped all the way down to minus 118 last I looked. So I don't know where it is now, but the number I got it at is minus 123. Alizé Cornet over Ila Tomjanovic. And then a little later on, going over in probably the match of the day, Simona Halep and Paula Badosa. And really, speaking of these, so those are the two plays. Cornet's about to play Tomjanovic. That's coming up. Speaking of Cornet, she took down our Iga future, our 9-1 play on Iga Swiatek. Now, here's the thing with the reaction to this. We kept saying on this show, there's a reason why we only have the 9-1. And that was the night of Ash Barty's retirement. We never added any Wimbledon futures besides the 9-1 on Iga. Remember, in the French, we had many Iga futures. U.S. Open, we have a couple. Well, remember we said, I feel much more confident about the U.S. Open with Iga than we do her on grass. She's never won a grass court tournament. We kept saying that. So we only had the 9-1. Wasn't minus 900, as some people seem to react that way on Twitter. No, it was a 9-1 shot on Iga. And she won 37 matches in a row. Did you think she was going to win every match for the rest of her career?
Never going to lose again.
Never going to lose again. And by the way, if you know anything about tennis, the great ones have a blind spot on a certain surface. It's just how it goes. You know, if you know anything about tennis. Cornet, minus 123 over Tomjanovic. That is this morning here. That's the first one. And again, total over 21.5. Halep and Badosa over 21.5 games a little later on. So the Eagle one goes that we still have our Rafa future at plus 725, which remember we got after the draw. On the men's side, did the podcast with Dan Weston and Drew Dinsick. Couldn't believe, I thought, how favorable it was for Rafa. Dan and Drew didn't quite see it that way. So I took a flyer on Rafa, plus 725. Do I think he's, I think Novak Djokovic would be the favorite against him in a final? Of course I do. But at plus 725, you just never know with a guy like Rafa, who is halfway to the Grand Slam, trying to get three quarters of the way through it. So we'll see if that gets home. Okay. USFL yesterday. Did you see this? The Birmingham Stallions are your USFL champions.
Good for them.
33-30 winners over the Philadelphia Stars. Sad for our buddy Matt Brown from Primetime Action, who, by the way, would even sit here and tell you it's the most ridiculous futures bet he's ever had in his life. He couldn't have cared less. But just on a whim, took the Stars before the season 6-1 on a guest recommendation on Primetime Action. But can I just say this, Jeff? That was actually, for them, for the USFL, it's actually a pretty good game. Really good game, actually. But that the Stallions acted like they won 10 Super Bowls at once, which I thought was very great. But the go ahead. I'm sorry.
Also, the crowd was pretty good.
They should do it in Canton every year.
Yeah, the crowd was pretty good for that game.
Get out of Birmingham. Go to Canton. Good crowd. But it looked like you know, it was Birmingham's game to win. But down five, the Stars matriculated the ball down the field. Touchdown, 2-point conversion. They go up three. And then a pick, and you're like, oh, Philadelphia Stars going to win the USFL championship. But no, not to be. Not to be at all. Their starting quarterback got hurt. We had two backups playing each other. And in the end, Birmingham took the lead, and then a pick six off the hands of KJ Costello. Oh, boy. Went up two scores, though. Even Costello and the Stars got a garbage touchdown. That was the end. Then they tried the 4th-and-12, right, to maintain possession. You have that option. Didn't work out. So for those who had Birmingham Stallions futures, Matt Brown did not. He had the Philadelphia Stars. Congratulations to you. Let me just ask you this, last thing on this. What happens next year when the USFL and the XFL go head-to-head in the spring? The Rock, Dwayne Johnson's XFL, which he bought from Vince McMahon for $15 million. Are we going to care then? Like, who's playing in the XFL?
Well, they'll be able to take some guys who played in the USFL this year. The big thing, Gil, is whichever league looks better early will be the one that people watch.
What are we going to have, Division III quarterbacks playing?
It's possible. I mean, again, keep in mind, remember, there were a lot of D1 programs that cycled through plenty of quarterbacks. So we may end up with that. But again, Gil, it's spring football for a reason. And it's not like the old days where the USFL could legitimately pay big-time players to come play for him, or obviously earlier, the AFL before the merger.
I can't wait to bet on quarterbacks like, you know, named Seth Finkelstein. Cannot wait to bet on that. The quality of play should be awesome. USFL
where'd you come up with that
versus
name?
XFL next year. Oh, me and Montesano, we're throwing it back and forth yesterday. Like, what's the level of competition going to be in one of these leagues? It's going to be brutal. Absolutely brutal. Speaking of football, the real football, the NFL, Jeff has a prop fest, the first of which, and by the way, I'm going into these blind. First one is I'm looking at the other screen here, season-long interception totals, not talking about defensive players with interceptions, talking about quarterbacks throwing interceptions.
Correct, yes.
Okay, via DraftKings. So these are all done, and these are all randomly placed on the screen here.
These are all based off of...
these are by conference.
By conference divisions here in the order. The other one will be alphabetically put together there, Gil. But let's start. The first number that stood out to me, what do you think? What do you think's the one that stood out immediately?
Carson Wentz.
Exactly.
10.5.
10.5. How is it that low?
I can't tell you.
Because the only way I would be able to go under that is if you told me he got hurt or was so ineffective that he's out of the starting lineup midway through the season. But even if he gets 9-10 starts, 10.5 still might be too low. That was the number that stood out immediately to me looking through this. Like, it should be 12.5, 13.5 at least, because the biggest number we saw that we'll see between the two conferences is a 14.5, which a few young quarterbacks in the AFC have. But 10.5 on Wentz is really, really low.
Well, we always say with counting stats, whether it's baseball or football, right, and you're going over, that you're rooting against injury. Here with a bad stat like interceptions, right, the thing is flipped on its head. As you said, the only way you could see it going under is with an injury or a benching or anything else. But Carson Wentz, everything we've seen from him recently, post-injury, and certainly in the last year or so, is a guy who, under duress, has no problem doing the Jameis thing, where he just wings the ball up into the air. That's his thing. In fact, didn't we see that against the Titans by the goal line? Do I remember that correctly?
The lefty
yes.
parachute for yes. the pick six?
That game was over by halftime. So, listen, I'm with you, and it's not like Washington, even though they did re-sign Terry McLaurin, it's not like they are teeming with weapons that are reliably open every single time. But Carson Wentz, I'm with you there. Let me go for some others here. Let's go through last year's stats first, right, before we even think further about that. Justin Fields, it should be pointed out, is the high mark for NFC quarterbacks at 14.5. Last year, do you know who led the NFL in interceptions last year?
Go ahead.
It was a tie. Can you guess who it was? Talking NFL now, not just NFC.
It was Trevor Lawrence, and I forget who he was tied
with. Trevor Lawrence and Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Both had 17. Taylor Heineke, Washington. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert with 15 each. So again, remember, you can be really good and throw a whole bunch of picks too. And Justin Herbert, just on sheer volume, right? Sheer volume is going to throw it. Justin Herbert threw 672 passes last year. Only Tom Brady threw more, and Tom Brady's are of the dink and dunk variety more often. But Justin Herbert is throwing it all around the yard. So Justin Herbert, as much as I love him, what's his number this year? Because he threw 15 last year in 672 attempts. And if you throw enough attempts, you just on math, just on odds, you're going to throw a bunch. Do we have his number?
We have it, but you're going to have to...
Okay.
Well, you're not going to have to wait. 13.5 on Herbert?
I think I have to go over.
But there are some other ones,
okay,
especially on the NFC side, where there's one in particular that's a little too high for me.
We'll go back to it.
Yeah.
All right. Wes Reynolds, Jason Weingarten, Las Vegas Chris, Pamela Maldonado. It's a numbers game. Happy Independence Day from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8 here as well this morning. We were just talking off air about the unbelievable match between Kyrgios and Tsitsipas this weekend. We were on Kyrgios for that. Kyrgios in 4 in a tiebreak. And then their post-game pressers where they were just murdering each other. They both got fined, by the way. Now, people are going to kill Tsitsipas because he lost, right? But one of the things that Tsitsipas said that rings true. He's like, I'm not even sure Nick Kyrgios is capable of playing a tennis match without chaos around him. Like, this is now away from the press conferences. That dude has more talent than maybe anyone. And I mean anyone. Even the big three. Yes, sheer raw talent. Maybe even. But man, what just absolute chaos surrounds every one of his matches. He's in a dogfight with Brandon Nakashima right now. Great match going on between Christian Garin and Alex de Minaur. Again, Pamela Maldonado on Wimbledon a little later. We have the Cornet match. We're on Cornet, and then we're on the over in the Bedosa-Halep match a little later on. Basketball, because you and I spent most of Friday morning, Jeff, talking about what the fallout of Thursday, where Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Nets, and we went team by team from Durant's requested teams to be traded to, the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat, versus all the other teams in the mix, why Phoenix and Miami might not work out. We went through it in detail. And why teams like New Orleans or Toronto, or dare I say Golden State, or Washington, don't even want to bring it up, why those teams would have the best packages. Sorry, DMV, I don't want to do this to you again. Bring them home. No, it's not going to happen. But, you know, these are the things. And so now the latest we've heard from this, and I'm curious if you're surprised at all, Jeff, Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, he says really no traction on either of the KD, Phoenix, or Miami scenarios. And really no traction on Kyrie to the Lakers. He said the Kyrie to Lakers thing may happen, but it's not like the Lakers have been super aggressive about it here in the short term. So this could last a while. Are you, based on what we were talking about Friday, that's not really a surprise.
This is definitely going to last. Let's take the Kyrie thing first before going to Durant. If you're the Lakers, take your time here. Don't bid against yourself. Because realistically speaking, they're the only team that seems to be in this for Kyrie Irving. Yeah, I know Philadelphia's mentioned. Yeah, I know Dallas was mentioned. Philadelphia's not happening. It's not happening. You risk having Harden say, you know what, I'm not re-signing with you if you do that.
this dude.
And if you're Dallas, I why would you do that to yourselves? Even with all the talent, it's not worth the aggravation when you already have a top three player in Luka who has somewhat of a similar skill set to Kyrie, at least offensively. The Lakers shouldn't bid against themselves. So that makes sense. And the Nets are no rush to give Kyrie what he wants in any fashion that's somewhat quick. The Durant one's interesting because the Rudy Gobert trade kind of messed up the whole market here.
Okay, this is what I wanted to get to. What was your reaction to this? So Rudy Gobert, who, let me just say, I love as a player. I might have even had an MVP ticket on him at 200-1 once upon a time.
May have.
The Utah Jazz, here's the thing about Danny Ainge. Trader Danny doesn't do trades unless he fleeces. Danny Ainge, who famously traded the Markelle Fultz number one pick, which ended up being Markelle Fultz, which ended up netting the Celtics Jason Tatum a couple picks later. Danny Ainge, who famously traded Doc Rivers for a first-round pick. It's my favorite one. But he trades Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves in a blockbuster that'll pair him with fellow All-Star Karl Anthony Towns. Woj first to report that. Timberwolves send Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Bomaro, number 22 pick Walker Kessler, and four, count them. You don't want to count them. Four first-round draft picks to the Jazz. And Utah will acquire unprotected picks in 2023, 2025, 2027, top five protected pick in 2029. And I believe there were some pick swaps involved in that as well, two pick swaps. Maybe I'm wrong about the pick swaps. Maybe I'm getting that confused. So, just a haul. Four first-rounders. If Gobert gets that, what are they getting for Durant in Brooklyn? My goodness.
Well, and also, too, if you're the Nets here, you're in a scenario where he's under contract for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get in a scenario where if you really want to, you can dare him. If you don't get the package you want, you can dare Durant into saying, you know what? You want to sit out the next 4 years? Go ahead.
You know,
go ahead. Dude,
you know,
pull a Ben Simmons.
It's
do
funny,
that.
It's funny you bring that up, Jeffrey, because on Friday, one of the things that I wanted to say, I got to most of the things I wanted to say. The one thing I didn't say was, remember the word is requests. Request a trade. It's just a little bit of wiggle room there with a request. He's asking. They don't have to do anything if they don't want. I mean, it's probably not best for them in the end, right? That's the point of why they would grant it. But if they're not getting the deal they want, we'll see. Anyway, does this make you want to bet the Gobert to the Timberwolves? Does that make you want to bet on the Timberwolves to win the title or to win the West?
So Gil, I was on primetime with Madden Kelly on Friday night, and I actually said that I would be less likely to want to bet Minnesota now.
Less likely.
I don't think that's a good mix up there with him and Karl Towns. I don't think that really works. And here's the big thing, Gil. Rudy Gobert in the regular season is a top 25 player in the league. That's fair? Regular season Rudy Gobert?
Yep.
In the postseason, we have seen now on multiple occasions that he has been run out of series. in multiple occasions.
He's a matchup nightmare for the team that has him.
Right.
Yes.
It's a great way to put it. It's very rare that we ever see a scenario like that, but that's what it is. And I would be concerned in the postseason with Minnesota. All right, you avoid the play-in game. Great. That's good for a franchise that has been a disaster basically its entire existence. One conference final and that's it. But if you're really trying to win a championship, come out of the West, getting Rudy Gobert and trading all those assets and destroying your bench in the process doesn't do it for me.
T-Wolves 40-1 to win the NBA title, half that to win the Western Conference.
I would need 70 and 35 still.
Yeah, I still wouldn't bet it. Good starting lineup.
No bench?
No bench. Zero bench. Your bench was traded. So if I said to you, all right, Jeffrey Parlay, you must make one NBA bet now. Again, not knowing where KD ends up. So this is basically a where you think KD's going and how that shakes out then exercise. But if you had to make a bet right now, which you don't, but if you did on July 4th, what's the bet to win the NBA championship?
Well, thank you for making sure that I don't actually have to make the bet, because it would really...
Yes, you do not.
It would be a lot of fun to have my money get held for 11 months.
We're just talking. It's July 4th.
First off, I will tell you right now, I would not bet the Lakers. I do not understand why
thank
that
you.
Number has
thank
legitimately
that.
Been cut more than half in the last week.
They can't quit it. The Lakers.
Yeah, people can't help themselves. You know, if you're going to make me, if you were to make me bet something, I would still take Dallas. You can get 22-1 to win the title.
Yeah.
You have a top three player in the league in Luka. You have enough room where you can go get another player that pushes you closer to being a legit championship contender. And 22-1 is, they should probably be the same number as Philadelphia, who's 12-1 right now.
Which is also an interesting bet, right?
Yeah, I
having acquired.
12-1 still feels a little short on Philly.
PJ Tucker to Philly or Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari to Boston? What is more impactful?
Well, if Brogdon's healthy, it's Brogdon.
Yeah.
Forget Gallinari.
Just can't stay healthy, though.
He just can't stay healthy. But I would say Dallas at 22-1. And if you're making me go way down the board, it would be New Orleans at 40-1.
Because of what could be.
What could be. And you know what? That roster's pretty darn good.
Roster's really good, but can they win a championship is the point.
Again, at 40-1,
yeah.
Taking a number.
If you run it 40 times, do they even win once? I don't know if they do.
It'd be close.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. The answer, as always, is the Warriors. But, you know, hey, look, I totally get it. At the number, I think Dallas is probably the answer. Just because of the sheer force of Luka.
We discussed this last week.
Yeah.
Everyone at the top, in all likelihood, is going to have a better number at some point during the regular season. And especially Golden State, who if someone gets hurt, they'll take a few weeks off.
Yep. No, there's no question. And why wouldn't they? Like, if Steph tweaks an ankle, they'll be like, hey, take your time, Steph. Don't worry, we'll be in the postseason. You'll be fine. We'll get back to those season-long interception totals and other NFL props on the other side. Plus, again, Jason Weingarten on this baseball day, Independence Day, full-day baseball. Some thoughts on the NL Cy Young and, yes, the AL MVP and Cy Young as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here for only $19. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. And if you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Points Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want at the cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Tiebreakers everywhere, Jeffrey. At Wimbledon. Nakashima Kyrgios, third set tiebreaker. With it one set apiece. Garin Dimonor, the old up to 10 tiebreaker in set number 5. If anybody's got action on that, which we do not. Back to the NFL. We started out here with some season-long interception totals. We put them out by conference, Jeffrey did here, and we were talking about how 10.5 on Carson Wentz seems low. That seems like an over. And Justin Herbert, 13.5, for me, seems low, not because I don't love Justin Herbert. I do, and I love the Chargers. I am very bullish on the Chargers with their new defensive additions this year. But Justin Herbert slings the ball around the yard so much. 672 times last year, to be exact. Only Tom Brady had more, 719, but Tom Brady's are largely quick dink and dunks. Justin Herbert is just rifling them downfield. So I would think that 13.5 is actually low, again, just on sheer volume. There were some other players that stuck out to you, other quarterbacks, Jeff. What were you thinking here as well?
Yeah, most of my standout numbers were on the NFC side.
Okay.
As we already discussed, Wentz over 10.5. If he stays healthy, that seems very, very low. Let's take Aaron Rodgers for a second.
I was just looking at that.
Because Aaron Rodgers last year, Gil, at one point it was 8.5 minus 200, which I thought was the easiest money you're ever going to have. Then it dipped to 7.5, closer to the flat. Didn't matter what number you had last year. Rodgers threw a hearty 4 interceptions, and that was with 2 in the first game.
4 picks.
Rodgers has not thrown more than 7 interceptions, Gil, since 2015. He's only thrown more ever since 2010, where he threw some interceptions earlier in his career. He's only thrown more than 7 twice. 2012 was the other one. I know Davante Adams isn't there anymore. I know it's a lot of new wide receivers. But isn't 7.5 too high on Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. I would still go under 7.5 with Rodgers. He just doesn't throw interceptions.
Normally, I would sit here and I would tell you, you know what, Jeff, I get what you're saying, but 7.5 is still low, where I would take the over in it. And if you beat me, Aaron Rodgers, tip of the cap. But you know what Aaron Rodgers seems like to me in these last couple years? Let me see what you think about this. Go with this here. There was remember Cliff Lee, the baseball pitcher? As opposed to the kitchen pitcher. I don't know why I said the baseball pitcher. But Cliff Lee, I want to say it was 2010. It could have been 2012. There was a year early part of last decade where Cliff Lee's K to walk ratio was unbelievably astronomically good. And I remember that as the summer went on, I came to the theory, I sort of came to the thinking that Cliff Lee had become aware of this unbelievable K-to-walk ratio and had started to groove the baseball. And you could fade him at a good plus number, and we eventually hit. Like, I remember there's a Twins game where he got shelled because he was doing everything possible to protect that, it seemed like. Remember Joe Blanton? Remember that dude?
How could we forget the last pitcher to hit a home run in a World Series game?
Oh, wow. Good on you. Blanton was so bad with grooving pitches, or excuse me, with issuing walks, I should say, that at some point in his career, he was like, I'm going to do anything humanly possible not to issue a walk, even if it's serving up meatballs. So now, transfer this to football, you're like, where are you going with this? I got the sense last year a few times that Aaron Rodgers so badly doesn't want to throw a pick that he will actually not, unless it's Devontae, those guys were connected by a string, it seemed like. There's just unbelievable connection between those two. There were times where I was like, wow, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't force that ball in there. I almost think, to your sort of buttressing your bet here, I almost think that he's gotten to that point in his career where I think the under would be the play. And I would never typically want to go under 7.5, but I think Aaron Rodgers' mentality has gotten there. I could be completely wrong about that. But in observation, there were times I remember thinking that last year. Who else?
By the way, that Cliff Lee season you're talking about, 2010?
2010,
yeah. Where Cliff Lee strikeout to walk ratio was 10.28.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
And I think at one point it was even better than that during the season.
Right. That was Cliff Lee ended up on the American League champion Texas Rangers
at the
end of that year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know who won the World Series.
We do, Jeffrey. Yeah. Your San Francisco Giants.
I want to ask you a question on one other one on the NFC before going over to the AFC. Mm-hmm. Trey Lance is listed here.
Yeah.
At 9.5.
What do you do with that?
That's what I was about to ask you, because there are two thoughts of thinking on this. You could either go Trey Lance is going to be the week one starter for the San Francisco 49ers, and that is going to go zooming over 9.5, or Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get traded, wins the quarterback competition, and we don't see any of Trey Lance, and this is an easy under.
I'm still getting over the fact that you said two thoughts of thinking.
Why not?
I think you answered your own question, man. I don't think you can touch that. I really don't. Unless you really have conviction on how this is going to go. And let me just, since you bring it up, young parlay, what are the Niners thinking? Like, isn't the object of every NFL season to win the Super Bowl, correct?
For them, especially with how close they are, yes.
Okay. What are we doing? Why are we going through this charade anymore? Like, I get it. There's a lot of Jimmy G detractors. I am not one of them. I actually think he came up really big in a lot of key moments this last year. He had a lot to do with their success and how deep they've gotten. By the way, he also was in a Super Bowl, and they had the championship on their racket, if you will, late against the Chiefs. Couldn't get it done. I get it. He did have one horrific overthrow in that game. But Trey Lance, you're going to do that to the San Francisco 49ers fan? You're going to be like, yeah, we're going with the kid. You're right, Jeff. I mean, everything you said, right? It soars over 9.5 if you know that he's playing, or it's a free bet if you know that he's not. So I don't know. Then you're just praying against Jimmy G injury, right?
It's the of all the ones between the two conferences, it's the hardest handicap because it's so simple of a handicap if we knew what was going on with that starting situation. On the AFC side, Gil, really not that much stood out to me. You look at the young guys, because all the young guys who were rookies last year, for the most part, are pretty high numbers. Wilson's at 14.5. Lawrence, who was tied for the regular season lead in picks, 14.5. Davis Mills, 14.5. The only thing I would look to is if you think any of these young guys are going to be much better protecting the football than they were in year one and taking them under. But I'm not sure I'm at the point with trusting any of those three to protect the football better than they did a year ago. The only one I would even consider going under would actually be Mills, as wild as that may seem.
Well, it's your boy Zach Wilson for your Jets. 11 picks last year. Remember,
didn't play the whole complement
didn't
of games.
Play. Played 13 games, yeah. Though. Didn't play like a very few games either. But 11 picks in 13 games. 11 picks in 383 attempts is actually, I didn't do the ratio here, but that's a pretty high one. 14.5 on him.
The number feels right.
Feels right?
Feels right. Shock me if he throws 11 again. Wouldn't shock me if getting more opportunities and they're going to be trailing in games still. Wouldn't shock me he could end up with 17 or 18.
Trevor Lawrence,
number feels right, though.
Trevor Lawrence tied for the league lead last year with 17. He's at 14.5.
Yeah, I think him and Lawrence, Wilson and Lawrence's numbers are right. Now, the interesting one, though, because remember, Mahomes, before last year, Gil, Mahomes didn't throw interceptions. And then he had that whole stretch at the beginning of the year last year where they couldn't get anything right. It seemed like any tipped ball that went into the air ended up as a pick with 13 picks last year. Obviously, his first full year, he had 12. Other than that, he's only had 11 in 2019 and 2012, or 2020, I should say, combined. Mahomes at 10.5, though, that would be a consideration for the over, Gil, because we could very easily see a start to the year like last year where they're trying to figure something out. Defenses are able to slow Kelce down early, and because Tyreek Hill's not there, you have new wide receivers learning how to play with Mahomes. Wouldn't shock me if we get a bunch early and then you're hoping you have enough banked early in the season that you can get maybe three the last six to eight weeks, and that would be enough to get you over on Mahomes at 10.5.
Tannehill, 12.5 with Robert Woods and the poo-poo platter of wide receivers.
Feels right. 12.5 feels right. I think these AFC numbers are less bettable than the NFC numbers.
Interesting market, for sure. We'll come back. Tennis. Pamela Maldonado joins us on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets and risk-free tokens planning a trip to Vegas. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Las Vegas Chris will be in studio a little later on the show. He is He's listening in. He chimed in on the Rodgers thing, Jeff, with the interceptions. And he says, he goes, I think he throws more picks. It's been hurting his game playing it too safe. And he agrees with me that he has, that that Rodgers has has been playing it way too safe. Almost to the point, again, my theory being like he almost is protecting that. And whatever I do, I'm not throwing a pick. But now he's kind of got no choice, right? You can't play that way anymore. You don't have your elite wide receiver. And by the way, there's a lot of people, you know, who are like, oh, Rodgers makes everybody great. What happened to Jordy Nelson when he left? And they'll go through receivers who dropped off a cliff when they left. Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's not good for the receivers either. But he's got to take chances this year. So maybe 7.5, I don't know if I would bet the under on that.
I understand the other side of the coin. Again, it is such a low number.
So low.
At 7.5.
That was the first thing I said, is like you almost have to bet over and then just tip of the cap if you beat me.
It's one of those where you could very easily, and again, we thought last year, week one, he throws two picks in the first game against New Orleans and then throws two the next 16.
Yeah.
So
he's like, I'll show you.
It's just one of those where, yeah, you could have a very slow start, and then all of a sudden, I only have three to play with in 14 weeks, and Rodgers just doesn't throw any the rest of the year. He goes back to what you were talking about, Gil.
Let's bring in Pamela Maldonado from Austin, Texas. You can follow her on Yahoo Sports at Pamela M. That's Pamela M 35. I like to say Pamela M. Pamela Maldonado, how you doing, Pam?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm super excited right now because Christian Garin, he just won the fifth set tiebreak over Alex de Minaur. This is his first quarterfinal in a major in his career, and I'm a huge fan of his. And he's a clay court specialist excelling here on grass. And man, I am like literally thrilled right now.
did you bet him?
I did not. Yeah. I did. One of my buddies actually asked me last night if de Minaur had a chance to win this tournament. I said, laugh out loud, no. But I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if de Minaur ended up losing to Garin. And once they got into the fifth set, you know, what people kind of undermine is that in a fifth set tiebreak in majors now, it is a 10-point tiebreak.
Yes.
And you're in a fifth set, that is going to favor a clay court player like Garin because it becomes all about mindset. It becomes about long rallies. Fifth set, you're gassed. So I would give the edge to Garin to a clay quarter like him, and he pulled it out, and I'm really excited for that.
Well, because there's nothing in grass court numbers that would have suggested an upset like this, but Garin gets it done,
no.
And he is in a quarterfinal at Wimbledon. Now, we know this is what we know first and foremost about you, Pamela, is that you are in the tank for Novak Djokovic. Come, you know, hell or high water, you are all about Novak. Now, he finally dropped a set yesterday. He did so to the serve bot that is Tim Van Righthoven. By the way, I had Van Righthoven plus the games, and I said to my buddy Todd when Van Righthoven was up 5-4 in that second set, I was like, we're better off losing this 7-6 than we are winning this 6-4, because if we win this 6-4, we're in big trouble, and that's exactly what happened. Novak was just like, you're done.
Right.
Is there anything that you've seen, anything that would suggest to you that Novak is not going to win this tournament?
Absolutely not. I do not see anything that says Novak Djokovic will not be winning Wimbledon. However, Nadal, he is still a major threat. Mm-hmm. And I am still a huge believer that Nadal has the legs. He's looking sharp. He's looking fresh. I don't know if he got injections in his nerves this time around or if he did stem cell in between tournaments, but his health is looking fine. His stamina is looking fine. His skill set is definitely still there. And because he hasn't had to face some of these tougher opponents, because they've all been eliminated or out WD'd from COVID, he hasn't had to use his stamina, his legs. So he could definitely ride this into the final, but he could here in a bit face Taylor Fritz. That's going to be his first test, and we're going to see if he can come out with a win in that. I would still expect him to, but it's not going to be an easy feat because Taylor Fritz is playing like on fire right now. His serve is just locked in.
Yannick Sinner plus 560 against Novak tomorrow in the quarterfinals. By the way, I really miss Manic Monday. This used to be, this Monday, the greatest day in tennis, where they would throw all the round of, we would have a day off yesterday on Sunday, and they would throw all the round of 16 games onto Monday. I really miss that, because now it's kind of sort of deflating a little bit. So you're giving Sinner no shot, I guess, at plus 560 against Novak. Mm-mm. I'm with you on the Nadal thing. I bet Nadal plus 725 after the draw because I thought the draw came out super favorable to him and figured there could very well be a Novak-Nadal final after all once I saw that draw. So I do have that. Do you think, and let's just for giggles now, let's say the Nick Kyrgios run continues. Nick Kyrgios, who we talked about on many occasions, or at least I have, Pam, which is this dude has more raw talent than maybe anybody. But we all know about the drama that surrounds him at every turn. It's almost like, to paraphrase Stefanos Tsitsipas, it's almost like he can't play without the chaos around him. But but just go with this. If he were to beat Nadal on that side of the bracket, and Kyrgios were to face Novak Djokovic in a Wimbledon final, which would be awesome, by the way, from just a theater standpoint. He'd be a tremendous dog. Do you think that his antics could get in the head of Novak? I mean, obviously his serve is challenging enough. Novak, great returner, I get it. But would you be scared? I know Nadal puts a little fear into you. Would Kyrgios put a little fear into you or none at all?
Absolutely, because there's not many players that Djokovic has trouble against. Kyrgios is one of those. He's 0-2 against Kyrgios, actually, in the head-to-head. Granted, these matches were last played in 2017. However, if Kyrgios were to get into the final, that's because he is healthy and his mindset is there. And this is a situation that we haven't seen from Kyrgios. So it's kind of one of those wild card situations of, okay, he may actually want this. Okay, he may actually be healthy. Okay, like this is really happening. I would definitely put some, and I don't think that the books would lay a huge underdog number on him based off of the head-to-head matchups, even though it was in 2017. But if he's there in the final, it's because he is knocking in those aces. But he is injured. Maybe right now, I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to watching the Nakashima Kyrgios match, but he has been messing with that right shoulder, his serving shoulder, the entire match. He had the physio called out, and we haven't seen, you're talking about the antics, not once has he shown any type of blow up in this specific matchup right now, and now they're in the fourth set.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this could go five, but when I was in the studio with you, the one thing that we talked about was he lacks the mental stamina. Well, he also lacks the physical stamina, Kyrgios, because he's admitted that he doesn't train like all the other players does. While everyone is, what did we see from Carlos Alcaraz between like November and January of 2021 and 2022? He came back like 10, 15 pounds heavier with some muscle. He definitely put in the work to build up that strength in his legs where he needed to. Do you think Kyrgios is doing that in the offseason? I definitely don't. So that's why his body isn't able to keep up with. He may have the skills, but this is 2 weeks in a best of five major tournament. So once you start getting to the Nadals and the Djokovic's, the ones who do put in the work to keep their bodies healthy, I'm still going to give the edge to those players, even though the raw talent is definitely there.
And you're 100% right. He's got to get past Brandon Nakashima here, even though he's up 2-1, Kyrgios. Brandon Nakashima, great grass court number, so anything possible here right now, even as we speak. Last thing, we only have a minute left. Anything on the Gauffin-Norrie match tomorrow? Cameron Norrie is a big favorite. Gauffin plus 190 coming back. Anything there?
I am a huge Gauffin fan. So as a later in the tournaments, I like to be a fan and less of a better. So I am rooting hard for David Gauffin. I think he is fantastic. He is so sharp of a player. He has that court sense that the big three have, but he hasn't had the physical capabilities or the mental mindset. He lacks the biggest part of the weakness in his game is that he doesn't have belief in himself. Well, now that he's coming back from injury here in 2022, he has been on a tear. He's been getting back to form. And I would say that even yesterday's match, that he's probably back to like 90%. But he's coming off a five-setter, and Norrie is no joke to be playing against. So I would, if he can pull this out in five, I think that's definitely possible. I think the plus 190 shows value, but I would probably be looking to the over instead of an underdog line.
38.5, the total in games for tomorrow's quarterfinal match between Cam Norrie and David Gauffin. Pam, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. We'll see what the final ends up being.
Yes, happy 4th of July.
You too. Happy Independence Day. Pamela Maldonado, everybody. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Baseball next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.